Honestly, I was hoping you'd go a little bit longer. I'm sorry. That worship was amazing. I have the unique privilege, along with my wife. For those of you who are new, I'm one half of the youth pastors. The beautiful half is down there. That's my wife, Jet. Oh. Stop it. I'm not crying. You're crying. We've had the wonderful privilege of being able to grow with these youth that you've seen on stage, the youth that were down here at the altar, and we've been able to walk with them in discipleship, and you're getting to see the fruits of all of that. I mean, there are kids that are going to be coming up today that are going to be sharing their testimony that had you talked to them 3 years ago, they wouldn't have even looked at you, much less have gotten on stage and, you know, and talked to you. So I'm excited about this, but the one thing that really sticks out to me is that you see fire in youth. You see their zeal, you see their passion, and it excites me. It's one of the reasons why Pastor Jet and myself are in this, because we want to see the next generation carry that fire that God has placed on their heart. But the Word of God, it clearly states that we are always to let our fire keep burning. And that we're never to let it go out. And actually, it's so important that the Word says it three times. If you look it up in Leviticus 6, 8 through 13, it mentions it three times. And how many of you know when God says, keep the fire burning? Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. It's important. It's interesting because one of my spiritual daughters pointed that out to me during a Level Up discipleship. She's like, this is the key scripture of Leviticus. You have to keep the fire burning on the altar and never let it go out. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, but it's the fire of the Holy Spirit that you see. It's the seed of faith that was planted. It's the spark. It's the spark of hope that you see take forth, and then you get to see the flame of what was unseen previously that has now become manifest on the altar. And it's an amazing thing to watch. And it reminds me a little bit about Elijah. You guys remember Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets? Some of you might have remembered that I taught a little bit on that a couple years ago. To condense it. To really, really focus in on what's happening here. Elijah confronted the rulers of that age. He confronted the prophets of that age, the people, the gurus, the people that had everything, that had so much to say about it, this and that and the other, about what should be right and what should be good. And he confronted that which was evil and called it out. And you saw that. You saw that so beautifully when he brings people together, when he stands before the king of that age and he calls the people of Israel together and he says, come to me, and he begins to rebuild the altar of the Lord before them. And you see it so vividly, not only physically, that he's physically putting up bricks, and I wish I would have had the bricks, but you know. I wish I would have, that you see the bricks being put up physically, but you also see emotionally and spiritually that he's rebuilding the altar of the Lord in the people's hearts. And they begin to turn as he calls down to the only God who answers by fire and says, Lord, if you are God, answer me. And immediately with a breath of his nostrils, flame comes down and engulfs the altar. That's right. Never let the fire go out. And you see that. In each and every one of these youth, and even those that I don't know, even those that aren't necessarily here every week, I see it in all of you. You have a destiny and a passion and a vision from God that cannot be taken from you. And you're going to get to see the fruits of that in some of the testimonies that are coming up. So I just want to lay that foundation so you can have that in the forefront of your mind, because fire only and always ever falls when there's sacrifice on the altar. Sacrifice on the altar. With that, I'd like to welcome my spiritual daughter, Taylor, up to the stage to share her testimony.
So just to give a little background, I'm a senior in high school now, which is terrifying a little bit. You know, college, it's great. But this summer, there's been a lot of events in youth. We've gone to Camp Impact. We've done multiple nights at the river. Even did kids camp, which was fun to watch, like, the kids get touched by God and have fun. So during this whole summer, I've heard message after message about God having a plan for me, but me not knowing what it was, and me being confused and walking around aimlessly. And it's gotten to the point where I would stay up at night going, God, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't know. And it got to the point where I started reading the Bible daily and praying to God every day, because that's the only way. When you have a relationship with God, that's when he'll lead you to where he wants you to go. Yeah. And I know that because 7 or 8 years ago, like, the events that happened then led up to now. And without those events, there's no way I'd be standing here, like, in Citrus County, giving a testimony saying, I love God and I'm a Jesus freak. Like, there's no way. And I'm so thankful. And I just wanted to share a verse, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And always acknowledge, or in other versions it says, seek him and he shall direct you in all your paths. And like that was a huge revelation, because I'm like, wow, this is what I've been missing out all these years, just trying to do it on my own. And I can't do it on my own. You can't. You got to let the Holy Spirit work in you. So, yeah.
I'd just like to point out, she was one of the kids that I was talking about 3 years ago. She didn't even laugh. So praise God for that. Hannah, I'd love to invite you up. Please come up stage, up top. There you go.
Hi. So, hi, obviously, my name's Hannah. So I'm going to start with something that isn't a testimony, but I feel like if I don't share this, I'm going to, like, regret it for, like, the rest of my life. So I need to talk about what happened up here and out here. So, like, what happened in this sanctuary today? Okay, sorry. That is the fire of God. And if you're sitting here thinking, why did I not feel this? That's your own fault. I'm sorry. Because the Bible does say God loved us first, so he's waiting for us to come crawling to him. And like Pastor Dave said, you got to keep that fire burning, but you got to run to the altar to keep that fire burning. And if you don't, Okay, sorry. Okay, now I'll share my testimony. Sorry, had to get that out. Okay, so, y'all are special. First service didn't get that. Okay, so, actually, I'm sharing a different testimony than I did first service, too, so... Okay, so at Camp Impact, which happened this summer, the last day of camp, they took up an offering for Pastor Chase, he's one of the pastors for Ramp, right? So he's one of the pastors for Ramp, which is another, like, awesome ministry. So they took up an offering for him and his wife. So I felt like God was telling me to put $20 in, and I'm like, I'm kind of saving this for something else. Like, maybe someone else can put $20 in. So, like, I had an internal battle about it, like, God's telling me to do it, but... So, eventually, I put it in. I'm like, okay, God, I guess you know what's better, so I'll put it in. And, you know, I didn't really think about it after that, because, you know, it's done and over. So, the day after I got home from camp, so this was the last day of camp, so the day after I got home from camp, me and my mom went to the Ryzen store for reasons. And we parked in a part of the parking lot that was, like, we were like the only people in the parking lot. It was kind of weird because like everyone's always at the phone store. So, okay. Stop. Okay. So we parked in a part of the parking lot where we were like the only people there. And I step out of the car and I found $20. So that really gave me reassurance because, like, you know, it's like God telling me, hey, if you obey me, like, and do what I want you to do, you know, I'm going to provide for you and, you know, take care of you. So.
Wow. That's the joy of the Lord right there. Leah, why don't you come on up here?
Hi, I'm Leah. So I kind of, I need the Holy Spirit to tell me where I'm going right now. Okay, working on that. All right. So, I also am probably going to tell a different testimony that I did in first service, but that's okay. And, okay, one thing I did share with first service that I really feel the need to share right now is it's been really on my heart lately, a spirit of thanksgiving, and because we're so quick when we, we're so quick when we pray to just say, please, please, God, do this, I need this, I need this. But then we need to step back and take time to say, thank you, God, for what you've done, because you, okay. Okay, thank God. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. But one of the things God actually literally 2 minutes ago just put on my heart to share is something that actually happened in, it was over spring break at something called Holy Spirit Retreat that we do with the youth. It's basically we took a trip down for like 4 days to Panama City Beach, and it was a life-changing experience for me, I've just got to say. And it basically, God told me to share it that because I had some events in my life that just happened back in December that really, like, rocked my world. And it just, I experienced some loss that was really tough. And I'm not going to get into it more because I feel the anointing on this part of what I'm going to say is when we were doing this thing called the hot seat. And basically what the hot seat is that we all, like, we break up into groups, and then someone sits in the middle, and we all lay hands on them and pray, and excuse me, and people get words and visions, and we prophesy over this person in the middle, and like no one leaves without a word, and it's amazing, and sometimes even multiple words. And so I sat in the hot seat, and I remember this one word that Pastor Jack gave over me. I will not forget it, but it was basically she pictured an egg. Yes. God talks to Pastor Jet in special ways. All right. Transformers eggs, you know. Okay. But mine was an egg, and she pictured it like cracking open, and the inside was like lined with gold is the best way like she could explain it. It was a vision. And just basically what had been on my heart before that, and this kind of confirmed it, is that it was my time of breakthrough. I was breaking through all these fears and these things that were holding me back from before, and I was just reaching a new level with my relationship with the Lord, and I was learning how to prophesy, how to evangelize at this camp, and then that just, like, that was it. But yeah.
Hi.
Jay,
the jet plane. So I'm Jacob, in case you didn't know. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself, what God has brought me through. My biological mother and my father were both alcoholics. Growing up, my dad, he got saved at a younger age and grew up in the church a little bit. He fell away after he graduated from high school. And my mother got together, and they had 6 of us children. I was the oldest. Am the oldest, not was. I'm still alive. I am the oldest. The story kind of changes when I grew up in a rough lifestyle all along, but it really got rough one day. I came home from my friend's house, and my father looked distressed, and I said, Dad, what's wrong? He said, Mom left. She took all the kids. And the first thought that came to my mind was, why didn't she take me? You know? That's not funny. Okay. Okay. But, okay. But that's the thought that I had in my mind. I was upset because of that. I was distressed because of that. About 2 months later, she came back. She dropped off my brothers. So it was just my brothers, me, and my father. And my sisters were with her, and she left. And that summer, we struggled financially, spiritually, because our family was torn apart. And then I was going into my seventh grade year. And going in there, I had a lot of behavioral issues the entire year. And I never did my work. And at the end of the year, I was held back my seventh grade year. And I had a lot of behavioral issues, so they put me in a correctional facility in Lecanto called Renaissance, if you guys ever heard of it. So my following year, as I repeated seventh grade, I went into Renaissance, and I was at my lowest point in my life. I would go to my friend's house. We would break into his liquor cabinet that his parents had, and we would drink. I had these thoughts of maybe trying to buy weed or because in Renaissance it's all there. So I was thinking of maybe trying to set it up, trying to figure out what I can do to get in without anybody seeing me. And I was at the lowest point in my life. And it all changed one day when I came home and my father, there was something different about him. Just there's this spirit on him. And I was like, there's something different about this. Come to find out, he was meeting with this woman from our church that we attended. And he was meeting with her, and he was doing Bible studies with her in the morning before he went to work. So his life, his heart was going back to God. And I was okay with that, whatever. Well, one day she calls my father, and she says, hey, I want to take you, your brothers, you and your sons, to the Holy Land Experience in Orlando, which is like a Christian theme park which depicts what life was like for Christ over 2,000 years ago. Blah, blah. Yeah. So we were go, whatever, Christian theme park, that's okay. It's whatever. So we went, and, you know, like I said, they had, like, the fake Jesus, you know, and, you know, the Beatitudes, blessed are those, all that stuff. And it was okay throughout the entire day. And then it comes the afternoon, and my father and her, they come up to us, me and my brothers, and they say, hey, guys, there's a crucifixion show this afternoon. You guys want to attend it? And I was like, crucifixion show. And for those of you, I'm pretty sure this is pretty self-explanatory, but in case you don't know what a crucifixion show is, it's a show that like reenacts the suffering and death and crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. So I didn't want to go, but they made me go. Praise God, they made me go. But they made me go, and I was so angry at them that I sat in the top balcony of the theater away from them. I was just sitting there pouting. I was so angry. And then the show starts, and like, I kid you not, the entire time, throughout the entire show, the love of God was just chipping away at my heart the entire time. And you could just see this Jesus character, and he was just being betrayed by people that he thought loved them, people that he thought he could trust. He was just the entire time throughout the entire story, and he still loved people, even when they used him, even when they hurt him. And everything else broke away at the end of the show when Jesus was sitting on the cross and all of these things were happening around him on the cross. You know, you've got the soldiers casting lots for his clothing. You've got his mother and John. They're standing there weeping because she's watching her son be beaten brutally by these Roman soldiers. And within himself, Jesus groans and he says these words that changed my life. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And the Holy Spirit planted this thought in my mind as soon as he said it. He said, it doesn't have to be this way. And I realized that the life I was living, the person the world wanted me to become, the things they wanted me to do, it didn't matter anymore. Because let me tell you this, I'm going to get real because I never said this in first service. I see some of you guys out there, some of you teenagers, and I'm just telling you, life's not about video games. Life's not about food. Life's not about pornography. Life's not about drugs. Life is about Jesus Christ. And I'm not just saying it. It's not. Life's not about your new phone, your new shoes. It's not about any of that. It's about Jesus Christ. After that, I knelt down September 26, 2014, gave my life to Christ, and after that, my life changed drastically. And like Pastor Dave said with the altar in your life, I see that. We tore down these altars, and we put up these altars, like I said, of pornography, altars of alcohol. We put all these altars up in our life and we worship them. And we made those our gods. And some of you, this is where it gets more deeper, some of you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. And you've trusted him in that area of your life. But in the other areas of your life, you haven't trusted him. You haven't surrendered them all to God. You've given them to these deities, these rulers, these principalities of this world. And God wants you to come back to him and give it all to him today. Right now, he wants to give it all to you. He wants you to give it all to him today. Not tomorrow, because you don't know if you got tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. God can restore you today. God can change your life. God can take your hurt. And God can make you brand new like he made me brand new. Yeah. So if you want to give your life away to God, if you want to rebuild that altar and give yourself as a sacrifice unto God, you come up here right now. Right now, stand up. Everybody stands up. Come up here right now if you want to. If you want to rebuild the altar, give yourself away to God, you come up here right now. Right now. Everybody, you can come up if you want to rebuild the altar. Maybe there's an area in your life that you haven't given away unto God. You're still holding back. Come up here right now, and we're going to pray over you.
Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you because you are good and your mercy endures forever, Lord. Father, we know that your hand is upon each and every one of these people, Lord. Lord, if you would do it for these youth, Father, you would do it for all of us. So, God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we're just going to go for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray for healing over sickness, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we cancel that curse in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, I stand in agreement with the prayer that was prayed out before, Lord. In Jesus' name, it was there, and now it isn't, in Jesus' name. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we cover each and every one of these people, Father, with financial prosperity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you provide what they need, Father, at the right time, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the broken, for the lost, and for the hungry, Lord. God, Lord, we pray, God, in Jesus' name, as much as within our power, Father, that we help them, Lord. But, Lord, we know that our provision comes from you, God. So, God, in Jesus' name, we pray restoration, Lord. We pray hearts being filled with your Spirit, Father. We pray fire from the Holy Spirit. To come down on everybody in this altar, Lord, right now. God, we bless you, Father. We want to steward your presence well, Father. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we lay down our old lives like a coat. We lay down our old lives, Father, the dirty, disgusting coat that we've carried around, Father, and we leave it on the floor where it belongs. God, I pray that you clothe each and every one of these people with a mantle of the Holy Spirit, Father. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that signs and wonders will follow them, Lord. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that life will come forth out of their hearts, out of their mouths, Father, into the world, Lord, piercing the darkness, Father, in Jesus' name, Father. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that no weapon formed against these people will prosper, Lord, because you love them. You do not abandon your chosen people, Father. And God, right now I pray, Lord, that those who are struggling in their hearts, even as we speak, Father, I pray rest and peace. We bless you, Father, and we thank you so much for what you've done here. We claim freedom and breakthrough, God. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You guys, everybody stay right here. I want to invite the worship team back up. We're going to just finish up with a fun youth song. Amen. And if anybody else wants to slip out of their seat and come on up here to be part of our fun song, you're welcome to do that. And when this song is over, we'll dismiss you. Praise God. You guys get blessed today? Yeah. Awesome to see what God's doing in the next generation, huh? You know, I was really touched by all these testimonies, and you have to listen to the recording, because there were ones from first service too. Hannah gave a great testimony of how the Lord had shown her that her heart had just been broken so many pieces that you couldn't even tell that it was a heart, but that the Lord had put it all back together and that he had smoothed out all the creases and the lines, and that you could never tell that it had ever been broken in the first place. It was really touching, and they gave such wonderful testimonies. And, you know, hearing Jacob speak twice and you know, clearly got a call of God on his life to speak the word, praise God, and kind of reminds me of myself. except for he's better looking, praise God. But you know what struck me was when you said, when you walked in the door and you saw that something was different about your father. Because kids recognize authentic. They can see it. And when he walked in the door and he saw his dad, he realized there's something that's been changed. Something is different than it was. And that began the process in him of the father turning his heart back to his children and the children turning the heart back to the father. Can you say amen? Hey, let's cut loose for Jesus right now. Amen. Come on.